All right, I believe as a believer in Jesus Christ, every now and then, as believers, we should do a self-examination test because, again, many times we can unknowingly, we can drift from the faith. We can exhibit behavior, characteristics that are carnal, that are fleshly, and that we may not even recognize it until we really get into the Word of God and allow that Word to be a mirror that shows us the reflection of our true heart and its intent. So today, we're going to do a little self-examination. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Thursday, March 7th. This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero. I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. Whether you're new, you are a regular viewer, we welcome you. And again, of course, if you're new, and this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below on Rumble, on the YouTube chat, on whatever comment place that you can comment. Give us a little wave emoji or let us know, type in new, and then put, you know, where you're from. So if you're new, you can put new from Texas or new from California or wherever you're from or even out of country, out of the United States, whatever that looks like to you, we'd love to hear from you. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. And before we get started, also, please, guys, do me a favor. Hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification, because that's what's going to push our content out on these platforms. And so its algorithm will, it'll help that algorithm push it out. And of course, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. You can get yours on Apple or the Android Play, Google Play Store. Just type in End Time Headlines. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, we welcome you to the program. Again, don't forget to pick up your app today. Once you download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. You're going to get every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. So, guys, here's what we're going to do today. We're changing, we're switching up things, and we're switching gears. We're going to get away from headlines today, and we're going to do a self-examination. 2 Corinthians, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It's going to be our foundational scripture. But again, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Here's what the Apostle Paul said to the church of Corinth, and I believe this is something that every church should practice regularly. Every believer should practice this regularly. Here it is. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Now, I want to remind our audience today. I want to remind our viewers today that this letter was not to the lost. This letter was not to people who did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This was a letter to the saints in Corinth who were born again, believers, and their names were in the Lamb's Book of Life. He writes them a letter in the second epistle of Corinthians 13, verse 5, and he tells the church to examine yourselves to determine whether you are in the faith. Come on, are you meeting the standard? Are you meeting the par? Test yourselves. Come on, you don't need somebody else to come along. Oh, I'm going to preach this right here today because that's what we're doing today. We're preaching today. This is not an information message today. This is a revelatory equipping message today. Listen, none of us, if we're born again, we should be in the Word to the point where the James said that the Word of God is like a mirror where a man can look into the Word and see the reflection of his heart to see what manner of man he is, whether he's in the faith, whether he's walking uprightly before the Lord. And I'm going to take you in a minute to 1 John because this is really going to shine that light right on our heart and the condition of our heart and help examine us. So watch this. Let me go back to what I'm saying here. I should not, as a believer, have to rely on my preacher, on my pastor, on an evangelist. Come on Christian television, a podcast, a YouTube, a video, whatever. I should not have to rely on somebody else to constantly show me and reveal to me where I am in my walk with God. Because if I'm in communion with Him, in the Word, in fellowship with Him, He is going to reveal that to me through His Word, through a self-examination. Again, Paul said, examine yourselves and test yourselves. Come on, somebody say, I need an examination today and I need to be tested today. And Paul even used a word here, or a phrase rather, and I thought this was interesting. He proposes a question to the church. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? In other words, are you really walking in the light as He's walking in the light? Are you walking in fellowship with Him? Are you in communion with Him? Are you letting your light so shine among men that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven? Are you doing the advice of what Paul said? And he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So he's asking this question. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. All right, now let's go over to 1 John. First, we're going to hang out. We started out here in Corinthians, but we're going to hang out in 1 John. This is really good, guys. This is such a good self-examination right here. So today, with the help of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we're going to do a self-examination. And if need be, come on, we're going to go before the Lord and ask Him, come on, to get us on the right track. If we've veered off the path, if we've veered off course, if we're in a backslidden state, I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, come on, we can, like a bowling ball that veers off the alley, come on, if you don't have the bumper rails up, it's going to go into the gutter. But today, come on, that ball may be veering off the alley and going into the gutter, but we're putting up the bumper rails of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God so that it can prevent you, come on, from derailing your walk with God and keep you on the straight and narrow. Come on, the Bible says that wide and broad is the path and leads to destruction, and many be that go into it, but narrow and compressed is the way unto life, and few be that find it. I'm in the Word today. Come on, 1 John. We're in 1 John 1. Ready? Here we go. This is verse 5, 1 John 1, 5. 1 John 1, 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now look what he says here. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. I didn't call you a liar today. The Word of God says, if you say that you have fellowship with Him, but you're walking in darkness, then you are lying and you do not practice the truth. Let me put this in modern vernacular today. If we profess that we are Christians, we wear Christian t-shirts. We have Christian paraphernalia. We have all the bumper stickers. We go to every Christian concert. We go to the Winter Jam. We go to the youth conferences with our kids. We do all these things. We're faithful members. We punch the clock. We're on staff. We're a deacon. We're an elder. We're whatever the case may be. If we say, profess, and come on, and try to portray ourselves as having fellowship with Him, but yet in works. Yes, I said it works. I know that's a cuss word to many people in the body of Christ today. But he says, but if we profess to know Him in fellowship, but we walk in darkness. Walking is an action. It's a verb. Walking is an action. It's our walk with God. But if we're walking in darkness, then we are lying and we are not practicing the truth. Let's keep on. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now stop. I want to ask you a question today. Paul asks questions all the time in his letters. Now notice here, he says that if we notice the common denominator of light and darkness is walking. There are two groups of people today that are listening and watching. Both groups are walking in something. But one group is walking in the light and the other is walking in darkness. Are you hearing me today? There's no middle ground. There, you're either walking in light or you're walking in darkness. And that's why we're doing a self-examination today. We're doing a self-test today. Now, this is interesting to me that John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, look what he says. If we do this, then this. Ready? We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I'm going to propose a question to you. What is the alternative to this? If we walk in the light as he is in the light and we have fellowship with one another, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. What is the repercussions if we're not walking in light and we're walking in darkness? Now, I can tell you this based on the word of God. So if you want to argue with this, we'll just pull out more scripture. But I can tell you in Matthew chapter 6, when it comes to giving and it comes to prayer and it comes to fasting, you read on down in the scripture, and then eventually you'll get to a part where Jesus begins to say that if you forgive men their trespasses, so shall your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither shall your heavenly Father forgive you of yours. Did y'all notice that there was a contingency there? The forgiveness was contingent upon your forgiveness. Let me say that again. The forgiveness of your sins was contingent upon, okay, what are you going to do about forgiving others? I know this is not preached much in the church today. Nobody wants to talk about this today. But listen, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ walking around in anger, in bitterness, in unforgiveness. Come on. And yet they claim that the amazing grace of Jesus Christ covers them, and they have a free card that they don't have to forgive anybody. They can be resentful to people. They can be despiteful to people. Come on. They can plot revenge against people. But this is contrary to the word of God. Oh, listen, if I lose you on this, friend, then you're not going to be able to handle the strong meat that we're getting ready to get into in just a minute. So come on. If you're still with me today, let me know in the chat. I'm still here. Verse 8, 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Have you ever met a self-righteous, pharisaical Christian that are always on social media? They're on Facebook, they're on TikTok, they're on YouTube, they're on Telegram, they're on Instagram, and they're always touting about they never sin, they never fall, they never slip up. Friends, listen to me. John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let me give you a revelation just in case your pastor hasn't given it to you or some minister and your favorite preacher hasn't told you yet. There is not a single individual under the sound of my voice who is walking in 100% perfection. There's only been one individual in the entire earth that ever walked in perfection. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like you and I, but he was without sin. It wasn't the Pope. It wasn't Gandhi. It wasn't Mary. It was Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that goes for you, that goes for your family, that goes for your preacher, your pastor, your favorite evangelist, and Brother Ricky. We are all susceptible to sin, whether it's words, actions, deeds, conducts, thoughts, come on, intentions, motives. We have all fallen short, come on, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That, my friend, is where true grace comes along. Come on, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I got to read on here. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Let me pull this scripture up here so you can see it and follow along with me. Again, I'm in 1 John. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Look at this. And the truth is not in us. But look at verse 9, folks. Well, oh no, what if I slip? What if I fall? What if I have? I've messed up. Okay, we've got a remedy. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, what's it say there, church? All unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Who's going to cleanse us all? The Pope? No. A priest? No. 10 Hail Marys and 12 Our Fathers? No. Mary? No. Come on, Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven, the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved. That name that is above every name. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, John repeats himself, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So let me give you a little word of advice. If you get around Mr. Super Christian or Mrs. Super Christian that wears the cape with the big S on the back for sinless, and they're always boasting about how righteous they are, I would probably run from them. I would probably not want to listen to what they've got to say, because based on 1 John, if they go around saying they never sin, they never fall short, they never mess up, they're perfect, they're walking in perfection, no, wrong. All right, let's go on. We're going to keep reading. Now we're going to go to 1 John 2. I told you we're going to hang out in John's epistles here. 1 John 2. My little children, notice he calls us his little children. My little children, these things I write to you. What things? We just went over them. These things I write to you so that you may not sin. So now watch, stop this. It's not God's intention that we do sin. God doesn't want us to sin. Are you hearing me? We're not giving you a license to sin. Come on, y'all know I don't preach that nonsense. It's not the will. It's the will of God that we walk in fellowship with him, that we walk uprightly before him, that we try, that we pursue and we strive to live a sinless life. But it doesn't mean we will. We're on a journey. Paul said it like this. He said, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm paraphrasing this, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. I put those things behind me. Come on, and I press towards the mark of the high call of Christ Jesus our Lord. So he says here, I write to you so that you may not sin. Now look what he says again. And if anyone sins, and you will, we have an advocate with the Father. Come on, hallelujah. Jesus Christ the righteous. Look at this. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but the whole world. Come on. Listen, every Catholic out there that goes to a priest and confesses their sins, listen, they're doing this out of ignorance. The priest cannot forgive them. Only Jesus Christ can forgive you. But listen, they need this revelation. They need to be set free from these false doctrines of men and the traditions of men. Again, Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. He is the substitute. Verse 3. Now he's going to get into some heavy stuff here. Ready? Verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him. Uh-oh. Now here we go. Here comes the examination. He's getting ready to get into this. He says, now by this, we know that we know him. What is it? Ready? If we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now you may listen and you say, oh, wait a minute. Didn't John just say that if any man says he doesn't, that he does never sin is a liar. And now he's saying if we don't keep his commandments, we're a liar. Which is it? Again, guys, you got to break this down in the Greek. What John is saying here is, and we're going to get more into this. So I probably shouldn't even go here now. I should probably wait. But let me go ahead and give you a little bit of this and then we'll come back. John is basically saying here that, again, as a believer who has truly been born again and the seed of God is in you, God is going to change your desires and your intentions. You are going, your spirit man has been born again and renewed, but you still have the same old flesh and the carnal mind. So watch this. Your spirit man is going to want to serve God. It's going to want to honor God. It's going to want to be faithful to God. But your carnal man, come on, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. That's your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. These are all interconnected. And this is the carnal nature of man. And Paul wrote in his writings that our minds have to be transformed daily by the renewing of the word of God. Why? Because if we don't, watch this, either willingly or unknowingly, we will begin to veer off course. And I've always likened this unto your vehicle. You ever went to a body shop and you get a car and you buy a brand new car and you pull it off the lot? Everything's perfect. The alignment's perfect. The struts are perfect. The oil change is just, it's a brand new oil change. Doesn't need to be changed. The brakes are brand new, new brake pads, new drums. Everything is great. Everything's brand new. So you don't really need to do any maintenance at all. Just maybe some oil changes here and there in your air filter. But then as time, listen to me, as time goes on and your vehicle is exposed to road hazards, exposed to elements, and unforeseen circumstances that you meet, that your vehicle comes in contact with, such as, watch this, debris, nails, screws in the road, potholes, debris from semis, car accidents, all this stuff. You know what this stuff will do over time? It will knock your vehicle out of alignment. Now, most of the time, we won't even know that our vehicle needs to be realigned until it gets to the point where it's so bad that it starts pulling your steering wheel to one side of the road or the other. Come on. How many's with me? How many knows what I'm talking about? I used to have an old Nissan Sentra when I first got saved, when I first gave my heart to the Lord. Even I actually had it before I got saved. But I remember, I was pretty young then, didn't have, you know, was barely making ends meet, paycheck to paycheck. So I didn't really have a lot of money, extra money to keep up all the maintenance on my car. So man, I was just driving this thing as long as I could and as long as possible. And I'm telling you, I remember there was a point when my alignment was so bad that I literally had to pull my steering wheel to the right with both hands when I'm driving straight down the road. I had a whole pressure to the right of my steering wheel because the alignment was so bad that it was veering to my car. If I let go of the steering wheel, it would literally veer to the left and off into the road, off the road into the gutter, ongoing traffic. Come on. So what am I talking about? I'm trying to tell you today, friends, there's many of us don't realize that our walk with God is so whack and out of alignment until we get into the body shop. Hello, come on, the church, the house of God, the word of God, the presence of God. We get into the body shop and then, come on, we begin to be examined and we find out, oh my goodness, I'm way off track. I'm not praying like I used to. I'm not going to the house of God like I used to. I'm not tithing anymore. I'm not giving to the work of the kingdom anymore. I don't have compassion for anybody anymore. I don't have the love of God for people anymore. Come on, somebody. Who am I talking to today? I'm trying to tell you in 1 John chapter 1, 2, and 3, all through these chapters, I'm going to prove to you today that the self-examination test, the things that you're checking off. John is saying that if you're truly born again, you will strive and you will contend to walk in the light as he is in the light. You will not want to, come on, to be walking in darkness. You'll want to serve him. You'll want to not sin. You'll want to desire to keep his commandments. Verse 5, let me go back here. Let me pull this up. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. We're getting ready to talk about perfected love in Christ. By this we know that we are in him. Okay, by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Whoa, stop, time out. Now I know, look, Peter wrote in one of his epistles, Paul wrote in one of his letters, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now here's John saying, he who abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. Listen, the perfect example was Christ. You can't get any, he was the ultimate teacher and we are the students. And John is saying that if you want to know how we ought to walk, if you want to know how we should treat people, if you want to know how we should look at others through the lens of compassion, and come on, the Bible says that Christ went about doing good works and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. If you want to know how to live our Christian life, get into the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, read in there and read the life of Christ and look how he responded and how he reacted to people and interacted with people. And that should be our role models. Verse 7, look what John said. Brethren and sisters, we don't want to leave you out. I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. Watch this. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Come on, somebody. He who says, notice it's out of your mouth, the profession, because we got a lot of, I'm telling you, why am I harping on this? Because we see it all day long, guys. You see it on Facebook, you Twitter, all these social media networks. You see it all the time. People are always saying stuff. Well, I'm this, I'm of that, I'm of this denomination. I don't believe in this. And that they're always saying, they've always got something to say. So John says, you got something to say? Well, in verse 9, it says, he who says he's in the light, he's a follower of Christ, walking with God, and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Oh, let me preach this like I want to preach this today. John says, if you profess to be a Christian and you have hatred towards your brother or sister, you are racist. You are vengeful towards them because of their ethnicity, what gender they are, their background, what church they come out of, or what denomination they're part of. John said, if you have hatred towards your brothers and sisters, you're not in the light, friend. You may say you're in the light. Everybody may be fooled by your Facebook profile and your statuses on social media and your little TikTok snippets and things that you, because you're giving to the poor and you're doing all this stuff. I remind you, Paul said, you can give to the poor. You can give your body to be burned on a stake. You can do all these things. But if you don't have love, you're nothing but a clanging cymbal. John says, if you claim that you're in the light and you hate your brother and sister, you are in darkness. That's not Brother Ricky. That's the word of God. But he who loves his brother and sister abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Whoa. You know what that's implying to me, friend? John's implying here that one of the main culprits of brothers and sisters stumbling, come on, is hatred and unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness. How many people has lost out on their walk with God because of that right there? They don't go to church anymore. Why? Because somebody hurt them. Somebody offended them. Somebody didn't like them. Somebody lied on them. Somebody gossiped on them. Somebody slandered them. So instead of, come on, instead of forgiving that individual, they've just cut church out altogether. Well, I'm never going back to church, never stepping foot in church, don't want to do with Christianity, don't want to read the Bible, don't want anything to do with God. I'm telling you, there is so many people out there that fall into that category. Verse 11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. Not only are you in darkness, Your journey is in darkness. You're walking in complete darkness. Look what it says here. And does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded your eyes. Wow. So listen, I don't know who this might be for today, but listen, if you feel like you're wandering around like in the wilderness, you don't have any, it's like you can't find a point of reference. You can't find a point of contact. You can't find purpose. You can't find where you're supposed to be. You feel like you're just wandering around and there's no purpose. Again, I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but maybe perhaps do a self-examination. Do you have hatred in your heart towards your brothers or your sisters? Are you resentful? Are you bitter? Is there animosity? Because John says these are stumbling blocks that will keep you in darkness. Now, I want to jump down here. I'm going to show you something else that will keep you in darkness. And again, it's not a coincidence. This is all in John's writing. Ready? All right, guys, keep in mind that this epistle is to the church, not unbelievers. Look what he says in verse 15. 2 John 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. Now stop. That doesn't mean we don't have love for the people of the world. You got to understand there's three Greek words for the word world. There is the word that means the planet. There is the word that means the civilization of the planet. And then there's another Greek word meaning the culture of that world. Let me say that again. The planet, the people, and the culture. Right? When it says here, when John says, do not love the world or the things in the world, he's talking about don't fall in love with the culture of your day. And his day is different than our day, but it's not really day because there's no new thing under the sun. Same demons, same devils, same schemes. And I'm going to show you, here is the three same strongholds that the devil uses. Look what he says. Don't love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Whoa. So if you start loving, you start falling in love with this culture of the world. Listen, let me tell you a good example. Let me show you a good example of pastors. When you see a pastor get up and they refuse to address the culture of this day. They refuse to address the culture of this day that is promoting and advocating things that are called an abomination according to the Word of God, and lifestyles that are an abomination, the shedding of innocent blood, come on, homosexuality, all this nonsense. If there is pastors out there and you hear them and you see them and they never address these things, they skirt around it and they even promote it or advocate it, John says they are in love with this world and the Father is not in them. Look what he says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me say it again. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. By the way, these three strongholds are the three tactics. These are the three weapons that Satan threw at Jesus when he was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, when he was led by the Holy Spirit and he was fasting. And the Bible says that he was tempted three times. You go study it. And Satan tempted Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of David, with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And on all three fiery darts of the wicked one, Jesus responded with the weapon of the Word of God. And he was the Son of God. John says in verse 17, the world is passing away. Come on. This the society, the culture of this day, it's all passing away. Come on. The Hollywood celebrities, the fame, the fortune, the wealth, the gold, the silver, the prestige, the recognition, the notoriety, the platforms, all of this is passing away, and the lust of it. John said, but he who does the will of God abides forever. All right, now let's jump down into verse 28. Look at this. And now, little children, abide in him. Abide in him, that when he appears, come on, he's referencing the coming of the Lord, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, again, he is not talking to unbelievers. Because I'm telling you, as sure as I'm preaching today, somebody's going to try to say, well, this was talking about unbelievers being ashamed at his coming. No, no, no. He is talking to believers here. John is referencing little children. We are the children of God. He is talking to the church. And he says, we need to remain abiding in him that when he does appear, come on, I said, when he does appear, he is coming back. Come on, somebody. He's not coming back as a suffering lamb. He's coming back as the roaring lion, the roaring lion, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it said, John says, when he does come back, if we remain abiding in him, we will have confidence and we will not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, but you know that everyone who, look at this, who practices righteousness is born of him. Again, going back to what I said earlier, if you've been born of God, you're going to desire to live righteous before him. You're not going to desire, come on, to live on the fence, live lukewarm, and strive to get away with everything you can get away with, just enough that you can, come on, do tippy-toe in and make it into the kingdom by the skin of your teeth. No, you should be, come on, wanting to serve him, wanting to love him, and wanting, come on, to crucify your flesh. I'm not saying that you won't be tempted. I'm not saying that you won't stumble. I'm not saying that you won't mess up. I'm not saying that you won't fall at times. But again, we went over this. Go back and listen at the beginning of this. We have an advocate with the Father if and when that happens. All right, guys, we're almost done. We're not going to keep you too long today. Look at this. Now we're in 1 John 3. We're almost done here. We're going to close this out. We're going to pray for some folks. And I believe, listen, we're going to get this self-examination going. And I pray that many of us will get back on track if we've veered off. Look at this, 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Again, who's he talking to? The church. Therefore, the world does not know us. Why? Because it did not know him. Oh, that's good. Let me say it again. The world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are. I said, now we are. So again, he says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. See, nobody fully, listen, don't let anybody tell you they know all the answers, because even John said, it is not known what we fully will be and what will be revealed. Now, listen what he says here. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but he gives us a clue. Watch this. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Oh, I did a whole podcast on this, guys. I don't have time to get into this today, but I believe that if you want to know what our resurrected bodies are going to look like, what we're going to be able to do, go back and study the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on, when he was raised from the dead, and come on, he walked among the disciples. And he, in a resurrected body, he was able to walk through walls. He was able to eat. They touched him. He told Thomas, touch the prints of my hands and this and that. He spoke with them. He had memory. He had a resurrected body. So John says, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, it has not yet fully been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, all that day, that glorious day, when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Look what he says, for we shall see him as He is. That's awesome. Not as he was, as he is. And everyone, now look, this is really deep. Ready? This is where we're going to close this. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let me say that again. And everyone who has this hope, come on, the hope of the resurrection of Christ, the return of Jesus. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself, purifies herself. You strive to, come on, you live a lifestyle of repentance. It's not a, I know some preachers get up and they try to tell you it's a one-time thing. You just repent one time and it don't matter. You could be, come on, 30 years later, you're not even serving God. You're not in the house of God anymore. You're abusive to your wife. You neglect your children. You are steeped into substance abuse and all kinds of nonsense. You're an alcoholic, all this stuff. But yet, because you prayed a prayer 30 years ago and you can keep living like the devil, walking in darkness, not abiding in him, that you don't need to do anything, brother. Oh, you are good to go. You don't have to repent. You don't have to do any of that. Friends, I'm going to tell you, that's a doctrine of devils. I will not sit under anybody that preaches that nonsense. Nope, not going to happen. Now look at this. Verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. Again, go back to the original Greek of this. The way it words this, it sounds like if you are abiding in Christ, that you will never sin. And that's just not the truth, guys. That's not the case. In the original Greek, this reads, when you study this word out, it means whoever abides in him does not practice sin. They don't have a desire. They're not going to live comfortably in a lifestyle of sin, come on, without conviction, because they have the seat. Now, let me read on. I'll prove it to you. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. In other words, they don't have conviction of it. They don't have remorse about it. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices, somebody say practices. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Look at verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Or in other words, again, they don't practice sinning, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, again, when you read that from face value from the English translation, it almost sounds like this really puts a lot of condemnation on people, because they're like, my goodness, Brother Ricky, I've been saved for 30 years, 20 years, 15 years, 50 years, and I have stumbled. There's been times I've said a cuss word, I've fallen, I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at, I did this, I've sinned before him. Again, you've got to, when you pull in the original Greek, what John is emphasizing here is if you've been born again and the seed of God is in you, then each and every time you do fall, you do stumble, you do slip up, the Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you. You're going to have remorse. You're going to repent of it. Look at Peter. Peter was walking with God. He told Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of the living God. When he said, who do you say that I am? He hit all the points, but yet Peter denied Christ three times. But what did the Bible say? Peter went out and he repented. He was sorrowful, and God and Jesus restored Peter back into the faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I'm trying to tell you today that if you've been born of God and the seed of God is in you, here's what I'm saying. You're going to have a very hard time living like the devil in the world and for the world. When the seed of God's in you, you're going to be one miserable individual, because God's going to deal with you. And you know what? Thank God for it. And you need to be thankful, and I need to be thankful for that. Verse 10, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Now, notice he made a distinction here. Children of God, children of the devil. He says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Ready? Here it is. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Notice he's emphasizing this love thing again. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, I'm going to show you a revelation here that some of you probably have seen, but some of you may not. Notice that John referenced Cain, okay? And he said that he was of the evil one. But that was not always the case. If you go, and I pulled this up here so you can see this in point of reference, Genesis chapter 4, look here. This, all this was over an offering. Okay, that's what's very interesting here. The Bible says that Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain, look at this, was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, remember what I taught you earlier? What did John say? He said one of the stumbling blocks was anger, was unforgiveness. He said it's anger and hatred towards your brothers and sisters. So notice here, there was anger. Anger was there. It was present. And notice what it says, verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Look what he says. If you do well, will you not be accepted? So again, God was telling Cain, look, it's all about your intent, your motives here. Look what he says. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Wow. Now, what was the sin that was lying at the door? Again, the Bible tells you what that was. It was the anger that he had towards his brother. And because he didn't relent, he didn't repent of that. He didn't turn from that and give it to God, but he festered it. He watered that seed of that sin and he acted upon it and it fully manifested. And John called it the manifestation of the devil, and it said that he acted in the way in which the sons of the devil respond. So friends, I come by to tell you today, I know this is a heavy word here today, but friends, there needs to be a distinction. Listen, we're all involved here today. Come on, I'm holding up the mirror to every one of us, to myself, to you, to everyone watching, everyone listening. We're holding up the Word of God. We're holding up the standard of the Word of God. I know that most churches don't do this today. There's no standard, no fear of God. Come on, there's none of this. There's no line in the sand. There's no sanctification, no righteousness, no holiness, none of this stuff. But come on, I hold to these things today, and I still believe in these things with all my heart. And I come by today to tell you today, if you're watching this and you're listening to this, and you are one that says, Brother Ricky, I believe that you're speaking to me today. I believe you're talking to me today. I believe the Holy Spirit is in this. I believe the Holy Spirit's revealing things to me and showing me my heart and showing me that I have veered off course and I need to get back on track. I need to get back on course. I need to do this self-examination and I need the Holy Spirit to lead me to repentance and the blood of Jesus to wash me whole today. If that's you and you're watching, you're listening today, listen, I'm going to lead us in a prayer for all of us, and we're going to pray. Come on, let's do it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your living word. Your word says that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it pierces the hearts and the very souls of individuals. It pierces, Lord God, the very marrow, and it divides. It divides asunder. Lord, it convicts us. It convicts us. It equips us. It charges us. It corrects us. It brings us into alignment of your will and the purpose that you have for us. So Father, we come to you today humbly and we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would forgive us. Your word says through your apostle John, your word says that if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. You said that we've confessed our sin before you, that you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So Father, we come to you tonight. We come to you today, whenever you're watching watching us, however you're watching us today, whether it's live or the replay, we come to you tonight or today, right where we're at, and we ask that you'd forgive us. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Lord, forgive us of resentment. Forgive us of bitterness. Forgive us of anger. Forgive us, Lord God, of ill intent, wrong motives, words, actions, deeds, or conducts. Anything that does not glorify you today, we ask that you'd forgive us and cleanse us of these things. Lord, help us to get on the straight and narrow. God, our flesh revolts against it. Our carnal mind does not want to obey it. Lord, Paul said in his epistle, he said, when I will to do what is good, I find evil present. And the thing I don't want to do is the thing I end up doing. And he goes back and forth and he says, who can deliver me from this? He said, but only one individual, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Father, we say, have your way and have it in our lives. Have it in my life. Have it in your life. Have it in our family and our friends, our coworkers, and whoever's lives that are listening today. We thank you, Father, for the cleansing blood of Jesus. And come on, and all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, I thank you, first of all, so much for coming on to the broadcast tonight. Again, don't forget to hit the like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification. Help us push the material out there. Pick up your free app today, available on Apple and Android devices. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away and good to go. Guys, as always, we want to give you the opportunity. If you're blessed, equipped, informed, encouraged on a week-to-week basis by our ministry, if this is your home church, if this is where you hang your hat and say, this is my home church, this is where I get fed, we ask that you be obedient to the Lord and you do what you feel the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Listen, and we're praying for partners, monthly committed partners, because this helps us continue to do what we're doing. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the main website or through the app. That's the easiest ways to do it. Or you can simply give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for guys, all of our partners, the emails, the messages, the letters, the generous offerings, the contributions, the partnerships, all of these, you know who you are. We thank God for you. You're a great blessing to our ministry. And again, everyone's listening, everyone's watching, you contribute to that. You're sowing seed into that. So again, we appreciate that. We thank you for that. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We're going to be right back here tomorrow night, Friday, March 8th. We've got a prophetic update lined up. We want to get that out there to you. It's going to be exciting. Again, that's going to be tomorrow night, Friday, March 8th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here, same time, same place, same channel. So until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.